at what age people should start worrying about their NO levels?
Well, I think you have to start understanding the role of nitric oxide in your early teens, you know, because as mentioned, you know, we've seen 20, 25 year old young people that have advanced nitric oxide deficiencies. And that manifests as high blood pressure, erectile dysfunction, metabolic disease. You know, 9 out of 10 Americans have some type of metabolic dysfunction. 2 out of 3 Americans have an unsafe elevation in blood pressure. So it's a huge problem. It's not an age-related disease anymore.
It's my distinct pleasure to have a chance to catch up with Dr. Nathan Blind,
who
is the foremost leading scientist on a molecule called nitric oxide, or NO. And I learned a lot of the facts and the data on NO from your lectures.
Oh, thank you.
And I want to have this opportunity to educate our viewers on what is NO and what are the functions of NO, and we'll expand from there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, NO is nitric oxide, as you said. First of all, thanks for having me. It's great to be with you and great to see you again. But it's a vasodilator. It's a signaling molecule, and it's how cells in the body communicate with one another. Its primary function is, you know, dilating blood vessels, improving oxygen and nutrient delivery. But it's much more than that. It basically controls tissue oxygenation, the offloading of oxygen from hemoglobin. It basically mitigates and downregulates the inflammation, downregulates adhesion molecules, prevents platelets from aggregating, prevents plaques from forming. It's how our immune system kills off bacteria, viruses, or any invading pathogen. And it's a neurotransmitter in the central nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a ubiquitous molecule, meaning that it's produced in most cell types, and it controls most of the biological functions that are involved in longevity and metabolism and regulating the cardiovascular system and making people live longer, healthier, better lives. So that's in a nutshell what nitric oxide is, probably one of the most important molecules produced in the human body.
I agree. And, you know, NO has such a wide spectrum of functions, and it's involved in so many different diseases and conditions. I guess my next question is, does NO decrease with age?
Yeah. So the both the basic science data and the clinical data in humans tell us that if you look at population-based studies, the general population, we lose about 10 to 12% of our nitric oxide per decade.
Wow.
And this can be, you know, accelerated or decelerated based on diet and lifestyle and mm-hmm. some genetic predispositions.
Yeah.
But today we know that we can prevent that age-related decline in nitric oxide production. So in the majority of the population, by the time we're 40 or 50 years old, we only have about 50% of the nitric oxide we had when we were younger.
I see.
But we're seeing now young kids, 20, 25 year old, that have the vascular age of a 60 or 70 year old. So this can be accelerated, or, you know, I'm kind of like the N equal one guinea pig experiment.
Yeah.
I turned 50 in November, but I've got the vascular age of a 32 year old.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that on average, we see this age related decline in nitric oxide production. But because of the research we've done over the past 20 years, we know how to slow down and prevent that age related loss. And that's been the basis of my research and kind of research program for the past 20 years, is how does the human body make nitric oxide, understand what goes wrong in people that can't make it,
mm-hmm.
and then how do we fix it?
Yeah.
And so that's what we focused on for the past 20 years, and we've made enormous strides. We've made a lot of really seminal discoveries in the field. And so, you know, fast forward to today, we know how to prevent that age-related decline in nitric oxide production. We know how to restore and recapitulate nitric oxide production, nitric oxide signaling, and make people live longer, healthier, better lives.
Yeah, great. So at what age people should start worrying about their NO levels?
Well, I think you have to start understanding the role of nitric oxide in your early teens, you know, because mm-hmm. as mentioned, you know, we've seen 20, 25-year-old young people that have advanced nitric oxide deficiencies, and that manifests as high blood pressure, erectile dysfunction, metabolic disease. You know, 9 out of 10 Americans have some type of metabolic dysfunction. 2 out of 3 Americans have an unsafe elevation in blood pressure. So it's a huge problem. It's not an age-related disease anymore. So I tell people there's only two people that need nitric oxide. There's the people who are sick and mm-hmm. want to get better,
mm-hmm.
and there's the people who are well and don't want to get sick.
Prevention.
And I think we have to start educating and promoting being proactive instead of reactive. Right, because Americans and the Western kind of medicine paradigm is reactive. People don't make changes until they develop disease or have a heart attack or stroke, and then they take action.
Yeah.
But we have to basically be proactive and treat prophylactically to prevent that. Because what we're finding, what the science tells us, is that if you have a heart attack and if you have coronary artery disease and stenosis of any blood vessel in the body, mm-hmm. then that means you've been nitric oxide deficient for 10, 12, 15, sometimes 20 years. So we have to, and the functional loss of nitric oxide precedes the structural changes that occur in the lining of the blood vessels by many years, decades. So to answer your question, I think we have to start paying attention, you know, in our late teens, early 20s, and start doing the things to prevent the loss of nitric oxide production and do the things that promote and stimulate nitric oxide production.
Yeah. So people in their late teens, if they want to do better in the future, they want to prevent diseases and extend their health span and lifespan,
right.
they should start worrying about their NO. And the second group are people who have certain disease conditions, especially cardiovascular diseases.
Well,
they definitely should be worrying
about
it.
No, for sure. So if you have, where we look are symptoms of nitric oxide deficiency. And there's a hierarchy.
Yeah.
So the first sign and symptom of loss of nitric oxide is usually sexual dysfunction.
Because
mm-hmm. if you can't dilate the blood vessels of the sex organs, then you
course.
Can't get engorgement, you can't get an erection. And that's in both men and women. And then if you don't, so that's the first sign of what we call endothelial dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also erectile dysfunction. But erectile dysfunction is endothelial dysfunction. But it's not just dysfunction in the vascular bed of the sex organs, it's systemic. So you have that same vascular dysfunction in the coronary arteries, that same vascular dysfunction in the cerebral arteries. So now we have to fix it. If you don't fix it, then what happens? You develop high blood pressure, then you develop insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, you're no longer able to exercise, and you develop mild cognitive disorders, dementia, Alzheimer's. So the mechanism of action of every age-related chronic disease can be traced back to a loss of nitric oxide years before. So when we're young and healthy, we need to take steps to prevent that age-related decline. So when I tell people the science is very complex and complicated, but the solution is really simple. Stop doing the things that disrupt it and then start doing the things that promote it. So if we take those one by one, so mouthwash, you know, we reported probably 15 years ago that people who use mouthwash destroy their oral microbiome, shut down their nitric oxide production, and we see an increase in blood pressure. And then fluoride in the toothpaste. Fluoride's an antiseptic, kills the oral microbiome, shuts down nitric oxide production. And then the other really main contributor is antacids,
mm-hmm.
proton pump inhibitors. They completely shut down your body's ability to produce nitric oxide. And now we're seeing people who have been on PPIs for 3 to 5 years have a 40% higher incidence of heart attack, stroke, and Alzheimer's. So those are indisputable clinical consequences and observations that are consequences of insufficient stomach acid production, which we know mechanistically is completely shutting down nitric oxide production. So if you just stop using mouthwash, get rid of fluoride in your toothpaste, and get off antacids, now the body's actually primed to do its job of making nitric oxide. We can restore the oral microbiome. We can restore the function of the enzyme in the lining of the blood vessel. And you can actually promote it. 20 minutes of moderate physical exercise, throw in some more green leafy vegetables, and then 20 to 30 minutes of sunlight exposure or infrared light therapy. And then it's really that simple. But you know, when all else fails, then we've created product technology that does it for you.
That's great. I mean, it does not seem to cost a lot of money to boost your nitric oxide.
No, it's actually cost savings.
It costs savings, and you don't have to buy, mouthwash. Mouthwash is actually causing a lot of problems.
Now, look, if you look at the data, so I'm a numbers guy. I look at the data, right? So 2 out of 3 Americans use mouthwash every day. Those are.
I got rid of mine about 2 years ago.
Oh, well, good for you. And then there's 2 out of 3 Americans that have an unsafe elevation in blood pressure. And so you can say it's an association, not causation, but we published a paper in 2019 that shows it's causal.
Mm-hmm.
When you destroy the microbiome, you shut down nitric oxide production, your blood pressure goes up. It's indisputable at this point. So for me, everything is about risk-benefit.
Yeah.
What's the benefit of using mouthwash?
Right.
I mean, maybe your breath smells good. What's the risk? You shut down nitric oxide production, your blood pressure goes up, you develop erectile dysfunction, and it puts you at an increased risk for heart attack and stroke.
And also, you kill all your healthy microbiome. I get bleeding if I I have to take a supplement, and not antibiotic, probiotics to stop bleeding. So, I mean, what is lifestyle changes are great. In addition to lifestyle changes, are there a certain segment of the population that needs a boost of nitric oxide through supplements or other
Means? So we've known kind of the genetic type. So through this full genetic mapping of humans, so we know if we have a single nucleotide polymorphism, we call SNPs, and the ENOS gene, then those patients basically become compromised in nitric oxide. There's certain urea cycle disorders, inborn iron metabolism, that lead to a complete deficiency of nitric oxide production. The methyl tetrahydrofolate reductase gene, or the MTHFR, which, depending on which report, 45 to 55% of Americans have a SNP in their MTHFR. Mm-hmm. And that directly leads to a nitric oxide deficiency, because the MTHFR enzyme is what reduces bioptrin to tetrahydrobiopterin. And then BH4 feeds into the NOS pathway, maintains NOS coupling, and we can produce nitric oxide. But if you have an MTHFR SNP, then you have primarily oxidized BH4 to bioptrin. The BH4-BH2 ratio is not ideal. It leads to NOS uncoupling and nitric oxide deficiency. Mm-hmm. So all your MTHFR patients have to have a nitric oxide releasing product, mm-hmm. right? And that's what we do. If your body can't make nitric oxide, we do it for you. You can't give these patients arginine, citrulline, or these other precursors or substrates, because their body's unable to utilize that to make nitric oxide.
Yeah, makes sense.
So we have to overcome all those deficiencies in the biochemistry and their genetics to provide a source of nitric oxide that their body is otherwise unable to produce.
Mm-hmm. So it has to be highly personalized.
No, that's right. And then we're in the area of personalized medicine, right? So you look at their genetics, you look at their metabolomics, you look at their labs, and really get a picture, an individualized picture of that particular patient, and then start introducing things that normalize that person's physiology. So it's very difficult to prescribe a one-size-fits-all for everybody, but here's what we found about nitric oxide. That it's foundational for everybody. So it's not an end-all, be-all, cure-all, mm-hmm. but we have to first restore the production of nitric oxide to maintain adequate oxygen and nutrient delivery to every cell in the body, to reduce the inflammation, oxidative stress, and immune dysfunction that we see in all sick patients, and to mobilize our own stem cells to then repair and replace dysfunctional and senescent cells. And until you restore the production of nitric oxide, nothing else is going to work. So we recommend that everybody restores their nitric oxide production. Then that allows the physicians to dig a little bit deeper and say, okay, now what's the other issues? What's the
that
root
was
cause?
My next question.
Yeah, what's the root cause? Are they exposed to some toxin, mold, mycotoxins? Are they deficient in some nutrient? You know, 95% of Americans are deficient in iodine. 75% of Americans are deficient in magnesium. These are basic micronutrients that are involved in, dozens of chemical reactions. And so we have to replete the missing nutrients. We have to remove the body from exposure to toxins, and then the body heals itself.
I mean, these are two most important issues, toxins and deficiencies in micronutrients, on top of what you mentioned, vitamin D. 70-90% of people are deficient in vitamin D. It costs about $5 to get your vitamin D optimized. You're going to get so much benefit. And NAD optimization costs a little more, but it's, again, so fundamental to health. So I totally agree with you that nitric oxide is a foundational molecule, it's very important, but we really have to take a holistic approach to optimize all aspects of our cell function in order to achieve good health and extended health span.
No, that's exactly right.
That's great. Great information. Now, I think I have seen on your social postings that you are actively engaged in taking personalized actions to extend your own health and health span.
That's right.
Would you mind to share us a little more details on what you do and what are your personal goals?
I mean, my goal is to obviously extend health span. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's certainly within the realm of possibility for people to live to 120, 150 years old. But of course, nobody wants to live to 120, 150 if they're bedridden and they're sick and they can't enjoy that extended life. So You know, the beauty of coming to these anti-aging and longevity conferences is the pace of innovation and the pace at which science is moving forward is unlike any time in history. You know, I was in the basic sciences for the past 25 years, published over 100 peer-reviewed papers, but now that data is accelerating so fast. So for me, what I try to do is I try to integrate into things that, first of all, I have no complaints. I just turned 50 in November, but I have normal blood pressure, I have no complaints, no aches, no pains. And so I feel good, but it's hard work, mm-hmm. right? So my personal regimen is I do a 16 to 18 hour fast every day. Mm-hmm. I usually eat my last meal at 5:30 or 6 in the evening, and I don't eat until noon the next day. Mm-hmm. So I think the data on caloric restriction and intermittent fasting is indisputable. It induces these longevity genes. The first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is that I sit in an infrared sauna for 30 minutes at 170 degrees. I take an algae and a spirulina and Corella product, so as a binder. So when I get in the sauna, if I excrete toxins, I bind them and then I excrete them. But I take that 30 minutes to, you know, log onto my Hallow app. I do my prayers, my meditation, and I start my day with just gratitude of, you know, being grateful that I woke up that day, and I plan my day, and I just, you know, it's giving this feeling of gratitude. And I think that's the best way to start your day. And then obviously, you know, sometimes I'll do a cold plunge thereafter for this extreme, you know, going from 170 degrees to 37 degrees ice bath is, you know, a shock to the system.
Shock but it's to like, the system is good.
Yeah, but it's exercising your blood vessels. Yeah. You get some vasodilation to complete vasoconstriction, and it helps in the regulation of blood flow. It converts to brown fat, which is more thermogenic, burning more calories. And then for lunch, I'll typically eat, I'm not a big fan of these extreme diets, straight vegan, straight carnivore, but, you know, I eat a light lunch, a lot of protein, very little carbs, throw in some vegetables. And then at dinner, usually I'll eat, you know, again, a lot of protein, some vegetables, very little carbs. And then I work out every day. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I travel a lot, but I try to do at least 10 to 15, 20 minutes of some type of aerobic exercise. I do push-ups, I do sit-ups, but we have to be active. And so you have to, you know, obviously, you know, make time for this, because if I waited till I had time to do this, you wouldn't do it. So you have to make time. And so that's the discipline it takes, and most people don't have the discipline to do it. And that's why a lot of people are sick, and it's hard work staying healthy, but it's harder work getting healthy if you get sick. So if I'm going to put in the work, I want to put in the work to prevent getting sick.
Great, great regimen, great advice. Now, my final question is more about the future. What new technologies do you see, if any, that's going to fundamentally change how we deal with health span, lifespan?
Well, I have an extreme bias.
Everyone does, right?
Yeah. So I live in this microcosm of the nitric oxide world.
Yeah.
And so we've figured out a way to reproduce and recapitulate nitric oxide signaling in the human body. So we've mm-hmm. done this very successfully in nutrition, dietary supplements. We make a topical nitric oxide for skincare and beauty to, you know, kind of perfuse the skin and improve fine lines and wrinkles. But the next phase of this is moving it through the FDA.
Yeah.
So I've got a drug company called Bryant Therapeutics where we've got drugs. We're moving a drug for ischemic heart disease. We've got a drug for Alzheimer's, which I think is going to completely eradicate Alzheimer's. Because once we understand the etiology of Alzheimer's as being a metabolic disease, mm-hmm. there's reduced blood flow to the brain, there's insulin resistance, and that's the metabolic phenotype of Alzheimer's. And our Alzheimer's drug improves blood flow to the brain, improves glucose uptake, potentiates insulin signaling, and now if we can get oxygen and nutrients to all parts of the brain, you don't get protein misfolding, you don't get the amyloid plaque, you can improve glucose uptake and give the brain the energy source, the preferred energy source that it uses, and you can overcome all the metabolic phenotypes of Alzheimer's. And then I think even more important is in wound care. Mm-hmm. You know, we're making a topical drug for diabetic ulcers and non-healing wounds. And you know, wound care, we're treating wounds today the same way we did 50 years ago. It's negative pressure, it's collagenase, tissue granulation. But the problem in non-healing wounds is there's usually always an infection, and there's ischemia or hypoxia, so there's no blood flow getting to that wound, whether it's from diabetes or paraplegia or quadriplegia. And so with our topical nitric oxide, we kill the infection and we cause a hyperemic response to the wound bed. And so to heal a wound, you got to kill the infection and get blood supply to the wound, and our nitric oxide does both. And we haven't seen a wound that we've seen 4 or 5 year old non-healing wounds that we heal in a period of months. So I think that's going to completely change the landscape of healthcare. I think there's 65,000 Americans that die every year in nursing homes from wounds that become infected and they die of sepsis. And to me, that's completely unacceptable because we know we have technology that can overcome that. Right. And so when you look at longevity, whether it's, you know, telomere lengths, whether it's improving stem cell mobilization and function, or whether it's improving mitochondrial function, nitric oxide controls and regulates all three of those. So I think what I truly believe, and I don't think this, I believe it, is that nitric oxide will be the way we treat people for the next 100 years, because it really addresses the root cause of every age-related chronic disease. Acute care in the U.S. is good. Trauma, ER docs, they're good. But treating and managing chronic disease, we're the worst in the world. And I think it's because we're chasing the wrong targets. We have to get back to understanding the basics of biochemistry and physiology, and then give the body what it needs, remove from the body what it doesn't need, and the body heals itself.
That's great. Very exciting news. I see you on all the social media, all over the world. What's that?
Well, I'm very fortunate to be invited. I give probably 40 or 50 lectures around the world every year, but I also take time. You know, the stresses of travel and the stresses of running a business and just the stresses of life, you know, we have to take time and just completely decompress. So I went to South America for a couple of weeks late last year, and I went to Machu Picchu. I visited all the sacred sites. But, you know, we're at altitude, 14,000 feet, and I was hiking 10, 12, 14 miles a day at that altitude. And so the beauty of that was you get complete kind of decompression, right? I move away from the science and or from, the hubbub and the rat race, and you really connect with nature. Mm-hmm. I'm at altitude, but I didn't develop any altitude sickness. I take my nitric oxide products and it helps me acclimate to that. So I didn't develop any altitude sickness. I landed at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and, 2 hours later, I'm at 14,000 feet in the mountains of Peru and Machu Picchu. But here's what I learned is that you completely disconnect. You're eating good quality food that's brought up from the farms that day. We don't see the chemtrails. There's no Wi-Fi. There's no EMFs. And so for me, that was the most healing part. And then I went to Costa Rica and spent a week in Costa Rica in the volcanoes, the natural springs, and getting this. I mean, I can just feel and see these electrons just energizing my body. So I think, everybody has to take time for themselves to kind of get away, mentally recharge, physically recharge, and you have to take time to do it. And I think, I'm very fortunate because I have that ability. And, in Texas, I live on 800 acres. We grow our own food and raise our own beef. And so we're completely secluded. But yeah, there's nothing like that. I mean, I'm very fortunate and blessed to be able to do that. But I think it's most important that people take the time for themselves to go and recharge and just kind of gain a new perspective on life and then come back. Because, I've dealt with some really difficult, stressful times in my life, but no matter what I go through, I realize, look, it could always be better, but it could be a hell of a lot worse, too. So I'm just thankful for each day that I wake up, and, we have a mission, and our mission is to change the world, and we're going to do that through the introduction of safe and effective nitric oxide technologies, and that's our mission, and there's nothing that'll stop us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me. Right. Good seeing you. Yeah.